It's the 100 Sanford Podcast. What is going on, Dog Nation? This is one of your hosts, Lamar Lovelace. I am here ready to talk Georgia football. Unfortunately, I am without Trigger Trey. I am without Graham Coffee, two of the guys that helped me to rock this here as we present Georgia football and actually Georgia athletics. Those guys are traveling. I think Graham is on his way to Indy. I think Trigger Trey is on his way to Atlanta. And really, I just settled down. I just settled down here at Richmond, Virginia with the move. So that's been part of the reasoning as to why things have been a little bit different in terms of us recording. But you know what? I figured before this big game, somebody's got to be able to get on here, talk about Alabama, talk about what just happened against Michigan, talk about what the fans think, and that's what I am here to do. But hey, but before we get started, the 100 Sanford Podcast is powered by the Roll Up Network, and this show is brought to you by our partner Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. That's right, enter, win, and withdraw fast. Just pick the player in the games, the over, under on the stats, sit back and see what happens. It's that easy. All sports are available, but especially our favorite, college football. All of our dogs are on there. So, hey, go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 100SANFORD for a 100% match up to $100 and have fun. Also, go to our website, 100SANFORDpodcast.com. We got links for the merch, other cool videos by Trigger Trey. If you have been on our Twitter account, you've seen a lot of gifts go out. Trigger Trey has been in the pocket putting things together. But we're doing big things here at the 100 Sanford Podcast, which brings me to 2021 was a great year. You know, we want to thank the fans out there. We really want to thank you, the listeners, for helping us into building the 100 Sanford Podcast. Obviously, the Roll Up Network contacted us and said, hey, you guys want to put together a podcast? We jumped on board, but we could not do anything without those who are listening and those that are supporting. We've even changed some things around, and we will be changing more around for 2022 as we look to add maybe some hosts, maybe to add some people on the editing side, some writers, whatever it may be that's going to bring content for the fans, for the listener, and we hope that you guys enjoy that moving into 2022. So, hey, let's get into it, man. Since the last time we talked, what did we have? We had Georgia going down to the Orange Bowl and taking care of business against Michigan. I can speak for all three of us that are on the show. It was something that we thought was going to happen. I think people were nervous about that particular game, but it was something when you looked at the matchups that Georgia really had everything playing in its favor against Michigan. Better football team that has played more consistent throughout the year, better offensive coordinator, better defensive coordinator, better head coach. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there like that. I think some people were worried about Hutchinson, his ability to rush the passer, but you know what? You can neutralize one guy. You can neutralize a couple guys, but you cannot neutralize an entire unit. And I think Michigan saw that firsthand with the defensive side of the ball that Georgia brings, their ability to get after the passer, their ability to disrupt offenses. Michigan saw that. I think Coach Harbaugh saw that. I think the nation saw that. This defense that has been paramount and been a juggernaut all season long, played to the ability that it should play at. I think that they wanted to go out and make a statement after what had happened against Alabama that, no, this defense is what people dreamed it up to be and talked about all year long, and they wanted to make a statement, and they wanted to kind of get back to the basics and show everybody what they were capable of doing. When you go back and you look at that game and what they were able to do against Michigan, it showed a lot. It showed what this team was able to do in terms of rushing the passer, to play against certain styles of offenses, to take care of certain passing lanes, running lanes, all of that was in play. And that team actually came out and balled out, and I am proud of them. Another thing that it answered was the narrative, quite honestly, with Stetson Bennett. And it's been a topic of debates for probably most of the season because everybody wanted to see JT Daniels. Heck, I was one of them. I was one of those guys that was enamored by the five-star, enamored by the big arm, enamored by the guy saying he wanted to come back and help to complete this season and make this season a great season for Dog Nation. But you got to give credit where credit's due, and you got to give credit to the guy that was under center, and his name was Stetson Bennett. When you start looking at what he was able to do in terms of running this Georgia offense and running it at a high level, folks, you got to stand up and applaud the guy. 21 of 31, 310 yards, 3 touchdowns, and not only that, made plays with his legs, and he was smart with the ball in his hands. Forget that game management stuff. He was a gamer. When you start looking at 3 carries, 32 yards, and what he was able to do and actually manipulate that Michigan defense at various times, you got to give credit to Stetson Bennett and what he was able to accomplish. I can only applaud the guy but so much, but Dawg Nation has to stand up as well. Another thing I want to give credit to was that offensive line. They had to come out and redeem themselves. When you go back and you look at that Michigan game and how they played against Michigan, you know, giving up the sacks that they gave up, allowing Stetson to have the time that he needed to have in the pocket to be able to make some of the throws downfield that he made against Michigan, this offensive line was flat out nasty the entire game. Go back and look at all the gifts. Go back and look at what Hutchinson, who everyone or a lot of people deem as one of either the number one pick overall in this upcoming draft, NFL draft, or a top 5 pick in the NFL draft, he was neutralized completely. The only time you heard his name, I think, was in the first quarter on a wide receiver screen that he quote-unquote sniffed out. I mean, heck, that's good prep work. Got to give that to him. But that's the only time you heard of Hutchinson's name the entire game. Aww. And the offensive line handled their business. And they were opportunistic. I think one of the things that you saw, I mean, scoring 27 points in the first half, was that they were able to put it on autopilot the second half. They didn't have to do too much. They could stay healthy. They could stay in rhythm, which they did stay in rhythm, and they maintained their health. But in that first half, they did what they wanted to do. Zeus was running effectively, 12 carries, 54 yards. You had James Cook, who was 6 carries, 32 yards. You had Kendall Milton, who came in the second half. You had Dejon Edwards, who came in the second half. You had guys that were really opportunistic in running the football, but at the same time, the ability for those passing lanes to be open, this offensive line played their tail off. Last but not least, you got to give credit to the coaching staff. You got to give credit to Todd Monken. Todd Monken actually called a great game. Some of the things that we had heard about earlier in the preseason, which was his ability to be creative on certain play calls and what he still had in the bag. I mean, the halfback pass from Kenny McIntosh was outstanding. No one would have seen that coming. No one did see that coming. And to get that pass off to A.D. Mitchell for the touchdown was big. But he called a masterful game. And you got to give credit to that Georgia coaching staff being prepared with a lot of disruptions. Let's just be honest. You have Coach Lanning getting ready to leave and go to Oregon. Congratulations to him. You never want to hold anybody back. But he's getting ready to leave and go to Oregon. You thought that maybe this defense wouldn't be dialed in. You thought maybe the coaching staff would be looking for different jobs out there in the market as this market is just crazy with opportunity. But they were dialed in. And even so much dialed in, you could fast forward to the end of the game where those guys wanted to kind of give Kirby the Gatorade bath. And he said no, not because he didn't want to get wet, because we're not done yet. That's it. We're not done yet. This is a great game. It's a great victory. Let's have fun with it. Appreciate the work that you've done, but we're not done yet. And I think this entire staff and this entire team is dialed in. And I just want to give a lot of props and a lot of credit to them and what they accomplished. It should have been a defensive shutout had they played and continued to play all of their starters. But in Georgia fashion, you know, we bring in some of those guys that do not get an opportunity to play and give them an opportunity to get on the field. And quite honestly, you know, they give up that last touchdown and they did not want to give that up. But hey, you got to give credit where credit's due. This Georgia team came to ball out. And I think they showed that, you know, which is quite funny because I know before the game had even started, you know, a lot of people like to look at the optics and they say, well, what's the fans like? What's the energy in the stadium like? How's this guy coming out of the locker room? And I remember texting one of my guys, Anthony Rushing, who's down in Houston, and he was saying, man, I don't know. Georgia looks a little tight. Michigan looks real loose. And to me, I immediately responded with, I don't know how loose Michigan looks. They can look a little too loose, But to me, if you go back and you look at that picture of Dean, who's sitting on the sideline and standing on the sideline, getting ready to come across the field, shake hands for that initial toss, those guys look dialed in. Dean looked like he was a man locked in and possessed and ready to go play ball. So these guys were dialed in. I think they are dialed in. I think we are going to see an outstanding and exciting game on Monday night, the national championship, the Natty against Alabama, the game that everybody's been waiting for, Dog Nation, Alabama. I can't speak for the entire nation because, heck, I think everybody, you know, just kind of gets tired of the SEC dominating, but it is what it is. The SEC dominates and has continued to dominate. They haven't won every national championship, but, heck, they have been there. They have been in the running for national titles. But it's going to be an interesting game. And so let's get to this elephant in the room. Let's get to the team and the game that we need to get to, and that's the Alabama game. And it's coming up here on January 10th in Indy. A lot of Dog Nation's going to be there. A lot of Alabama fans are going to be there, but the nation will be watching. And I think before you get to that game, you kind of got to go back to that first game against Alabama. Let's talk about it briefly, because I think there's a lot of things that you can notice and see in that first game that's going to give you some signs as to what can happen in the second game. The first thing you got to notice in that game was a lot of big-time plays that were made by Alabama that really, I'll say it was opportunistic. They took advantage of blown coverages. I mean, heck, we've had Quay Walker come out in his press conference and talk about how it was some blown coverages. You had some of the defense that came out and other guys on defense that said blown coverages as well. Hopefully those things are cleaned up. If those things are cleaned up, you take away some of the big plays that happened in that game that really shifted the balance in this game. Folks, when you look at the 67-yard touchdown pass to Jameson Williams, when you look at the big-time play to Michi of 40 yards, that's 107 yards in field possession right there on two plays. Georgia doesn't give up that on two plays, and they don't do that all season long. Take that away. Now, that doesn't change the entire score of the game, but the more you make a team play your style of game that you want them to play, which has been the trademark of a Kirby Smart defense, and quite honestly, even an Alabama defense, eventually you're going to make a mistake. Eventually, they're going to capitalize on your mistake. Flip to the other side of the ball and flip to the other team. What did Alabama do? They played their style of defense, and they forced Georgia into making a mistake eventually. You go and you look at Stetson Bennett, 29 of 48, 340 yards, three touchdowns. But what people want to point to is the two interceptions. Those were costly interceptions, but they weren't the tall tale of this game. What was the tall tale of this game was maybe giving up one interception, but on that defensive side that we played, giving up the big major plays to Alabama, the chunk plays that allowed this team to go and march down the field, allowing a quarterback like Bryce Young to navigate the pocket, not get touched, not even get smelled, quite honestly. That changed the narrative of this game, which has not been the trademark of this defense, an elite defense all season long. A lot of people want to go back and they want to look at the scheme that was played. I think some things could be changed around there. For one, Michi's not playing this week. He's out. Unfortunately, the kid has a torn ACL. We wish him the best because we wish all kids the best, all players the best. But at the same time, he's not playing. So who steps up for Michi? Slade Bolden? Billingsley? Holden? Who steps up? Or does Alabama now have to adjust and say, hey, you know what, we got to rely more in this running game. We saw that against Cincinnati, where they had to rely more on the running game. When they played against them last week, that offense was not the same offense as it is with Michi in that offense. So it allows you to make adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, which I think Georgia will make on the defensive side of the ball. For one, I would love to see my guy, Kelee Ringo, go against Jameson Williams the entire game. I want to see him body him up the entire game, press coverage, and force Jameson to beat you. Force Bryce to beat you. You have to force this team to do something and not allow them to do anything that they want. If you look at the trademark of the great coaches, Belichick, even Saban, what do? They take away your best options and force you to beat them with something else. So with Georgia, I believe that what they have to do is they have to force and press the issue, force Alabama to beat you with Bryce Young with pressure in his face, bringing pressure, pressuring Jameson Williams, and forcing Alabama to win this game by running the football and going against your great run defense. And I think if that happens, we're in a prime position to win this particular football game. Offensively, stay clean. Stay clean in this game. That's the big deal. Be opportunistic when you need to be opportunistic, but stay clean. And that's what brings me back to that Michigan game. One of the things that stood out for me with Stetson, and we kept hearing it, I mean, after that Alabama game, I mean, God, the kid could have went into a hole, crawled into the hole, and never came out. But he never wavered. He continued to go out there and play his game. And I think what we saw was Munkin. We saw Kirby say, play your game, kid. Play your game. Don't worry about making a mistake. And if he goes out there and he plays his game and not worries about mistakes, we're going to see a great game by Stetson Bennett on Monday night as well. But one of the things I wanted to do, which is a little bit different since we don't have our co-host on the show because we asked those guys, I wanted to go to the fans. I wanted to see what you guys had to say in terms of what do you think we need to do to win this game? So we had some people tweet. We had some people text in. So we're going to read some off here. Let's see. Comes from the Dropouts Podcast. Three keys. Get to the quarterback. Disrupt the pocket. Offense needs to take care of opportunities or take care of the ball and maximize opportunities. Win the battles in the trenches. And the last one, bonus, it's a bonus one, coaching. Coaching has to win. My man Carl Nesbitt, who actually won one of our contests that we had earlier in the year, D-line is key. They can set the tone of the game, get constant pressures, hit and sacks on Young will be the biggest key to this victory. And that takes me back to what Tennessee did, what LSU did, what Florida did, what Texas A&M did. Go back and look at those games that Alabama had against those teams, whether they won or lost. The key is to disrupting Bryce Young. You cannot allow that kid to sit back in the pocket and kind of dictate what he wants to do on offense. That's for any quarterback. You can't allow that to happen. But the more pressure that you put on him and allow and make him and force him to throw in a tight coverage, force him to make tighter reads and faster reads, it's going to be a better opportunity for you. Turr, another one. Key to the game is stopping Bama's run. I think the worst case scenario is when Robinson and Sanders are both in rhythm. Safeties have to move up to respect the run, and they beat us vertically. If they are able to move the chains on the ground, then that's doomsday. I agree with that. I think with our rush defense, we have been able to stop the run pretty efficiently all year long. I think to add on to that, Davis is going to be a key. One of the things that Alabama looked to do last game was actually to get Davis, keep Davis on the field by maintaining that up-tempo. But if you don't allow Alabama to square off and just get big chunk plays down the field, well, Davis is going to be fresher in this game. He's going to be able to get off the field. He's going to allow you to operate efficiently on first and second down from a defensive standpoint. Holly jolly, baby. Just win. I'm tired of overthinking Bama games. Just get it done. Chris Dog 90, go at Bama. Last game of the year, there's nothing left to lose but playing our style. I think that's something that's lost in translation too. The best teams play their style. The best teams play it the way they want to play. They don't allow other teams to dictate the tempo, dictate how they're going to move and move their offense, their defense. They play their style. And one thing about Georgia all year long, they have played their style of play, whether we like the way that Kirby opens up the offense or shuts down the offense, or we like the way they attack or don't attack, they play their style. It's the last game of the year. Let these guys do what they do and do it to the best of their ability. We got Jerry in Fort Walton. Our guys got to play with that edge, that targeted aggression, that nastiness, that relentlessness, that they won't be denied. Mindset plays as much as of a factor as anything else. Don't believe you are the best. Know you are the best. 100% agree with that. When you come into this game, you can't be looking at what the naysayers are saying. I mean, I'm going to put some of the quotes on pause right now, and I got to address that. We have so many people that want Georgia to lose. People want to assume that, like, Kirby's smart as Charlie Brown, and every time he gets to a national championship or a big game, all of a sudden, or Georgia in itself, gets to kick the ball through the goalposts, and all of a sudden, like Lucy, college football pulls the football out from Charlie Brown. Couldn't be further from the truth. Things have happened, but they've happened for everybody. Not everybody's been Alabama. Not everybody's had that one magical season like LSU with Joe Burrow. Not everybody's played in a weak division like Clemson. Yeah, I said it. Not everybody's played in a weak division like Clemson. You're playing in the division you're playing in. You're playing against the teams you're playing against. And you're still building a juggernaut program like Kirby is building. Go back and look at year one, 8-5. Would you have thought this team would be where they're at right now with two national championship appearances? A chance to win your first since 1980? You probably wouldn't have. But what happens is everyone's looking at the recruiting prowess of what Kirby's been able to build. Everyone's looking at the opportunities. Everybody's looking at, hey, you know what? We're right there on the same lines as them. Well, we are, but let's play. Let's roll the ball out and play. But you can't bring out everything that's happened in the past. You can't do that. Come out. It starts on Monday. You play your game and you make sure it happens. Enough of that negative Nancy stuff, man. I'm tired of hearing about it. British Bulldog, as a matter of fact, right now, I'm wearing his T-shirt on. Cheerios, baby, from across the pond. Focus will be the key. Stetson will need to be sharp in when to use and lose the ball. The defense will need to be alert and fit to cope with quick plays. I think what he meant to say here was Stetson's going to have to be sharp and know when to use, which I believe he means his legs, and let loose of the ball. And when to make those key throws. I think against Alabama that first time, he was a little bit nervous in terms of what type of plays to make, and I think this time he won't be. When you go up against Alabama or you go up against a team like Georgia with this much talent, I think sometimes, you know, speed factor help is a detriment. Stetson had not gone up against a defense like that all year that has enough speed, enough talent, looks kind of like yours if you play them in practice. But I think Stetson will be in great shape on Monday. Tennis Dog, come out like we did against Michigan, controlled, focused, and determined. I trust Kirby to get it done. I trust him too. Billy, the Ohio Georgia Bulldog, tight end and cook usage, hammer with Zeus, and no Bennett turnovers. We win the natty. I agree 100%. You got to stay clean. I think that's in any part of any game, in any sport, you got to stay clean. But I think by utilizing the tight ends, we got to definitely use every tight end that we have. The Big O, I think he's going to be a big factor. Obviously, we saw the touchdown last game, but I think we continue to press the ball down the field with our tight ends. Dropouts again. Score more points. I think that's key. Crack Cobain. Not letting Jameson get loose and don't give Young too much time. Was never a Stetson believer, but if he's the guy, we can't make this a shootout. But if we have a lead, Kirby can't be conservative like in the past. Got to knock him out because Saban ain't going to stop coaching. I believe that 100% as well. You know, if you have a lead, you continue to go at Bama. This is not one of those things where it's going to be a respect game where, hey, we got to start to shut it down because Saban ain't going to respect you. He's going to shake your hand afterwards, and he's going to say, hey, great game. And I don't care what kind of scowl or look he gives you. Kirby, put your foot to the pedal and let this thing go. Blow this team out, and at the end of it, say, hey, you know what? I never know what you're going to do, Big Stick Nick, because you have the ability to come back. Nick's going to get over it. Don't worry about it. He'll get over it. USA, K-9, biggest key, scoring more points than Alabama. I agree 100%. C-Mac, keeping everything in front of you defensively. That's been a paramount of Alabama and Georgia defenses throughout the past years. You know, a lot of teams, they play press coverage. They play man-to-man throughout the entire game. They're not really worried about giving up big plays. But one of the things that's been a trademark of a Kirby Smart defense and an architect of that Alabama defense is keeping everything in front of you, again, forcing them to make mistakes. Comes from that Belichick tree of defense out there in New England with the New England Patriots. Again, they force you to make mistakes. Eventually, you're going to make a mistake. Nobody can stay that clean, and that's the way they believe. But I think in a game like this, I think if you play press coverage and you force Jamison Williams to beat you man-to-man with a guy over top, a safety over top, and you force Bryce Young to play a game that he doesn't want to play, you're gonna actually win a lot of those matchups. But you cannot allow those guys to get past you, and you got to keep everything in front. Marvin Jones Jr., I'm assuming this is a Stan account because this ain't him. But let's see. If I see William Poole on another receiver, I might lose myself. I think that was a big factor in the last game that happened. Poole was kind of, you know, he's kind of targeted. Hopefully he's cleaned up those things. He's still one of our dogs, and we're hoping that he's going to go out there and have a good game if he's forced into action or forced to play. Stacey Gibbons, Alabama doesn't play the first half. They save their energy, let the other team think they're winning. Then they come out in the second half with all their energy and start scoring. The other team never recovers. Let's not fall for that. Let's win. I think that's true to a lot of aspects. Against us the first time, heck, they came to play. It was 24-17, and then they actually took their foot off the gas in the second half without Michi. I think they had to adjust. We just were not able to recover. C-Mac again, third down conversions with UGA offense and extending drives. That's a big deal. I think what that comes down to, though, is efficiently running the football. I think against Alabama, you cannot put yourself in a position where it's third down and 8, third down and 9, third down and long because of penalties. You got to make sure that if you're getting the third down, and heck, I don't even want to get the third down. But if you're getting the third down, it's third down and 2, third down and 1, things that are manageable. UGA today. Let's see, Kirby giving UGA's great athletes a plan they can win with. UGA all day. Key for me is defensive play. Can't be like the first game. Get to Bryce Young early and make him uneasy, much like Auburn and Arkansas did. Get off the field on third and long. Win the turnover battle. Win the natty. He's picking Georgia 31-17. NC Mountain Dog, pressure the quarterback. He cannot just sit in the pocket like last time. Establish the run game early and complete long, sustaining drives. Complete these, and the natty is ours. My man, the DGD podcast. His thought, Stetson Bennett leads a fourth-quarter drive to win the national title. After the Dogs win, he pulls out the flip phone to say, quote, look on Twitter, and everyone has doubted him. That's right. And again, a lot of kudos has to be given to Stetson Bennett for the job that he's done. Heck, he wins. They're going to erect a statue of that kid as well, as he should deserve one. And last but not least, my man Nick Moore can have 2 red zone drives that come up with 0 points. That is a big deal as well. Once you get inside the red zone, you got to score. You can't come out of there with 0 points. At least you're coming out with 6. But I don't want to see 6. You know, it has to be 10 or more. I'll sacrifice a field goal maybe. But I'd rather have those 2 touchdowns. That's going to be a big deal. So that's coming from the fans. I wanted to read those off because I think everybody's excited for Monday's game. I am excited, and I am ready. Now, as for me, what do I say? First and foremost, play your game. You know, again, I'm going to go back to something I mentioned earlier. The best coaches play their style. I'm going to use 2, and they're best friends. Nick Saban, he's got to be the GOAT, right? College football. Bill Belichick, some consider him the GOAT of professional football. But one thing that both of those guys do, they play their style and they neutralize what you do best. And they force you to win with everything else. So we have to do the same thing. Neutralize what Alabama does best, which is big play potential. Go back and look at the Cincinnati game. If Cincinnati had more athletes and had more ability to actually be in that game, they would have been in that game. The reason being is because they had a cornerback that can match Jamison Williams and go all over the field with them, who's going to be a top 10 pick himself or top 15 pick in the NFL draft. I believe that you have to go at Alabama. Again, I mentioned it. Go at – I'd put Ringo on them all game, maybe a safety over top, and allow these guys to battle. I'm going to get pushback. Oh, Ringo's a freshman. Correction, folks. This is game 15. He's not a freshman. Spring camp, early games, 15 games in. He's not a freshman anymore. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's a late-season sophomore. He's a guy that's actually played in a lot of big games, and he's played this team before. He's got a lot of film work. I'm allowing this kid to go man-to-man with Jamison Williams and bodying him up. Now, I'm not a fool, but I am going to put maybe a safety over top. I'm going to spy with a linebacker. I'm going to spy, but at the same time, I'm allowing him to be more physical. When you throw Jamison Williams off his routes, he's not as effective. He just isn't. He's a great wide receiver. I give him a lot of props and a lot of kudos, but you know what? He did transfer from Ohio State. I don't know why he transferred, but it wasn't just because, you know, he loved Alabama. It was the opportunity to get on the field. If that's the case, and if you're this guy that you're at Alabama, you should have still been that guy at Ohio State. That's what I'm going to say. Michi's not on the field. I'm going to make all of these other guys beat me. I'm going to make Slade Bolton beat me. Billingsley, Holden, Ladue. I'm going to let these guys, Ja'Cory Brooks, I'm going to let these guys beat me. If you beat me with those guys, hey, you know what? Hats off to you. But I'm not going to let Jamison Williams get loose the entire game. My other key factor, again, if you're going to press the issue, I'm going to press the issue. Run the ball effectively. I can't speak enough to that in this game, that if you put yourself in opportunities where it's second and six, second and five, third and one, the splash plays that Georgia needs on offense will happen. The big play potential for Georgia's offense will happen. The play action fake will be effective. The ability to move Stetson in and out of the pocket will be effective. Those things will be effective. But you got to be able to run the football, folks. You got to. You go back to that first game of playing Alabama. You start looking at James Cook, 3.5 per carry. Zamir White, 3.9 per carry. You had Kenny McIntosh with 8 yards, but that was a long of 12. That's not effectively running the football. When you run the football for 3.6 yards per carry, that's not effective, folks. I'm sorry, it's just not. You go back and look at what they did against Michigan, they were ripping Michigan apart with the run game. That's what made it so effective in terms of throwing the football downfield. You have to be able to run the football effectively, and I'm going to put some pressure on the offensive line. I love those guys. SVP is one of my – you know, one of my dogs out there. I love the kid. Those guys have to come in like this is their last game ever. Neutralize and play and capitalize on being the best unit on the field. It's gonna rest on these guys. But I believe in them. Not very many people can get to Stetson Bennett, and not many people have gotten to Stetson Bennett all year. 11 sacks. And not just Stetson, also JT when he was back there, quarterback. But, you know, the run game has been inconsistent all throughout the season. You've had periods of when they were able to run, periods where it's been a little bit of a struggle. But in this game, it's got to be all dogs, everybody, all hands on deck, and everybody just making sure holes are being open through the entire game. And last but not least, I'm going to put the onus on the coaching staff. One, it's going to be on Kirby Smart. Let these guys be loose. Not as loose as Michigan thought they were, but let them be dialed in, but play their game. Play to their strengths. I think that whatever, I don't even know what it was, whatever that game plan was against Michigan, throw that out. I mean, against Alabama in the first game, throw that out. I don't know what it was. But let these guys play the way that they played all season long. Loose, nothing to lose. It's us against the world, and it's our year. Let them play their style of play. Todd Monken, I need him dialed in. Call your plays efficiently. Take chances when the chances need to be taken. And last but not least, that defensive side of the ball, when you got Dan Lanning, when you got Shue, when you got Muschamp and Kirby, when you got four minds going up against Alabama's offense with Bill O'Brien, you should be able to dial up something that slows down Bill O'Brien in this offense. If you can't, I mean, heck, I don't know when you ever will. This is the best defense we've seen in a long time in college football. Many would say it's the best defense we've seen at Georgia ever. We got a lot of guys that will probably be leaving and going to the NFL that are going to be studs in the NFL. Take advantage of it. Allow these guys to play the way they play. Put a package in place that allows them to be successful. And we come out on top. Dogs on top. So before we get out of here, before I get out of here, you know what? I'm going to give my prediction. I believe all those things come to fruition. I wasn't too confident the last time we played them. And one, I think I was kind of like Dog Nation. What's going to happen? I don't know. Do I trust that this team will efficiently get the things done if they need to get done? And they did not. I knew that somehow in the back of my mind, I knew they're going to change something up. So with all that being said, I'm going to go with my prediction. Us playing our game, which I believe they are going to play their game. I believe Georgia is going to play it. They've never played before. I believe we are going to see this team more loose in terms of playing the scheme and style that they want to play throughout an entire game, more than we've seen all year long. I'm going to say Georgia goes out on top 41-13. I think we dominate both sides of the ball. I think we're going to see turnovers by Alabama. I think we control the offensive line. I think we control the tempo. I just believe in this team. And I believe that that loss, that early season loss or late season loss in the championship game to Alabama, allowed them to take a step back, look at themselves in the mirror and say, what can I do better and what will I do better? The bright lights will be on them. They'll be used to the bright lights. There's no brighter lights than the national title game. And I just think they get it done. I don't think that the seniors on this team and the leaders on this team that have been leaders and bona fide leaders all year long allow this team to walk out of that stadium without the natty in the first one since 1980. I think they just get it done. Some people may call me crazy for 41-13, but if the defense plays the way that I believe this defense will play, how do they score that many points? Without Michi, by getting the Bryce Young, by causing turnovers. How does Alabama score more than 13? That's just my opinion. I think it's going to come down to that, whether it's two touchdowns that Alabama has and a block extra point. I don't know, but I'm going 41-13. I'm throwing it out there, whether anyone likes it or not. So, hey, let's see what happens on Monday night. Hope you enjoyed the show, a little bit something different. As we move into 2022, the 100 Sanford podcast will be doing a lot of things different. Hopefully, we're going to add some more content, add some other pieces to the show, and I can't wait to have my guys back in the saddle with me again. Sugar Trey, you're out there. Graham Coffee, I know you're out there, and let's see what happens. But, hey, I'm out for right now. Go Dawgs. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.